Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Thank you for joining me for another live edition of the Daily Wrap-Up, and I apologize for not putting a notification out for this earlier. I was actually planning on taking today off, but with the recent report from the OPCW yesterday, I felt like I should come on and quickly cover some things as well as a couple of other articles I was possibly going to talk about tomorrow. And I also wanted to point out that I might not be scheduling these shows in the future and putting out the notification for, you know, a half hour ahead of time or an hour ahead of time, because it's come to my attention that apparently, as many of you know, these videos get immediately demonetized before they even go live, which in its own right is a violation of their own rules because they have no idea what the content is. They're simply flagging us as individuals. But it's come to my attention that they demonetize these, which then stops you from being able to do super chats during the conversation, which should frustrate you in a lot of ways. They're basically unilaterally telling you that you can't support me because they don't agree with something they have yet to even see what I'm going to talk about. As I can simply put the Daily Wrap-Up in the title and that's it, and it'll be demonetized the moment I schedule it. So today I chose not to schedule it. So if you guys would like to interact with some super chats today, I'm happy to address those when they come up. But, you know, it's possibly that this has already been demonetized since that's happened. So just a heads up in general, I'll try to drop some information on Twitter for these shows before they go live. In general, you guys know I try to do these at least 5-6 times a week. So I'll do my best as well to keep these about the same time throughout the day. But for all those that catch these on the replay, these shows will always be posted everywhere anyway, so you can enjoy them there as well. So hello to everyone in the chat, and let's get into the discussion points from today. Some stuff that I find to be very, very interesting, and really to highlight some of the things that I always talk about. Really, just the lies we're being told, the misrepresentation of the information, and how they're just going out of their way to make sure that we don't see things come to pass that could actually produce some kind of meaningful, peaceful situation between the United States and its own people, and even the United States and other countries around the world, which is very interesting. So for the first article of the day, coming from ZeroHedge.com, as well as a lot of other places, so this has been covered quite roundly by a lot of good people, like Vanessa Beely. I saw actually that the Veil did a video this, I think either this morning or yesterday, about this, covering all the same information, but it's very important to get out there from all possible channels. It's entitled, No Nerve Agents in Duma. OPCW Report Demolishes White House Sarin Narrative. Very important information here, because this is being wildly misrepresented by pretty much all of the mainstream media, which really shouldn't shock any of you out there who watch this show on a regular basis, but not only is the Syrian narrative being completely debunked, which is what the White House pretty much rested their entire concept on, as well as the chlorine aspect, but that in itself also is basically being debunked here. So there's a lot of information to go over, but this story in general is very, very, very important to get out there and make sure that you're not listening to any of these mainstream outlets that are pushing something, which I'm going to pretty quickly dispel here in this conversation. So a preliminary report published Friday, which is interesting, it was a couple days ago even still, by the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, the OPCW, found no traces of any nerve agent at the site of the suspected chemical attack in the Syrian city of Duma. The OPCW report states this unambiguously as follows, quote, no organophosphorus nerve agents, organophosphorus, I believe, I said that probably mistakenly wrong the first time, nerve agents or their degradation products were detected in the environmental samples or in the plasma samples taken from alleged casualties. Which I also found that pretty interesting that they said alleged casualties, like the OPCW. I mean, you could make your arguments about their connection to the United Nations and they could be deceptive in the first place, but the fact that they said that is interesting to me. Now it says, compare the newly published official OPCW findings with the 5-page White House assessment released on April 13th, just days after the alleged attack, right? So just before there was even anybody on the ground to investigate this, the White House comes out with information, which obviously we now know came directly from extremists on the ground, very anti-government activists on the ground, as well as the white helmets, which we've gone over them a million times over now, very clearly, at the very least, on one side of the argument. So they use their information to push this forward, which is now contradicted by the OPCW findings. The White House asserted that sarin was used in Duma. Quote, a significant body of information points to the regime using chlorine in its bombardment of Duma, while some additional information points to the regime also using the nerve agent sarin. That's what the White House said they were confident in right after the attack first happened. Now, very revealing is the fact that the supposed mysterious blood and urine data, which the White House used, claiming evidence of sarin, which ultimately led to President Trump unleashing over 100 Tomahawk missiles on Damascus, was nowhere to be found in any of the OPCW's findings released Friday. Which you have to understand that the blood and urine samples that they claim showed proof of a nerve agent used is nowhere to be seen in any of their findings. That's a very profound thing to understand. This findings were it's preliminary, but it was presenting all of the information they had so far. And if this was a real thing, it would have been in their report, and it was not. That's a very revealing point. Now, interestingly, headlines are now making much of the also mentioned, quote, various chlorinated organic chemicals. And entirely, I would say, intentionally misrepresenting the information of the report and what, you know, basically what various chlorinated organic chemicals actually means to support their narrative. Nothing really new there. So here are a couple of the most blatantly incorrect examples of articles that went up. And I think it's important to make note of who these specific groups were. Now, this one, obviously, is not a big shock. This is, the BBC, something that we've all seen. Their blatant bias in regard to this topic, but it clearly says Syria attack was chlorine gas, which I'm going to get into in a second why that's blatantly untrue, but that is it was patently false. Here's another one from The Independent. Syrian conflict. Chlorine used in Douma attack was left dozens of civilians dead, which clearly even the OPC is saying alleged. They're basically just asserting that that is fact, even though it's not even verified. And we've already proven that's not. Chemical weapons watchdog finds. So again, asserting the fact that chlorine was used, and that's not what the report found. And here's another interesting one coming from Al Jazeera, which I also thought was interesting. Interim OPCW report finds proof of chlorine used in Syria's Douma, which is patently false. I mean, it's at least as far as the report finds so far, because it was a preliminary report. So very interesting to see these reports coming out. Now let's get into why these are incorrect. Now the word chlorine is only used twice in the OPCW interim report, both in characterizations of social media and does not contain any declaration confirming chlorine allegations, in spite of the current media reports wrongly suggesting that the OPCW has found victims at Douma that died from chlorine exposure. Apparently, both Reuters and BBC were in fact forced to quickly correct their reporting on Friday's OPCW document, as both initially claimed that the OPCW investigators confirmed chlorine use at Douma, whereas the document reads various chlorinated organic chemicals were found in samples from two sites. Interesting point of fact, the hospital that was bombed, it turns out it was not even a hospital that was related to the chemical weapons, despite the U.S. claims, they found nothing there. None of the chlorinated organic samples, no sarin, they found absolutely nothing. So of all the cases, that's the most blatant of the fact that they were either lying or misunderstood what was going on there. But here's what's important. Well, first, let me show you this. This is what the BBC was forced to change their article to say, which I like seeing this kind of stuff. Now they changed their article from before to say Syria war, possible chlorine at Douma attack site. So before we even go forward, we have to understand how right. This is the BBC news that people swear by, people that are still lost to this, who came immediately out without doing their due diligence and misrepresented the facts, and then immediately had to admit to put out a correction, not even a retraction, which I hated. Retractions don't exist anymore. They basically just quickly update the title, put a small little disclaimer at the bottom, and then most people don't even reread the article. But what's interesting here is there's more to this in general. Now, you have to understand what chlorinated organic chemicals really means. Now, there's a lot of other interesting articles, one by Squawk Box that put out a lot of different information, and also Vanessa Bealey covered this as well. But the most important one I found was from Moon of Alabama that talked about the concept of chlorinated organic chemicals actually means. But here's the image from the Squawk Box article, which shows you pretty clearly what these things can be used for. Now, it says degreasers, cleaning solutions, paint thinners, pesticides, resins, glues, and a host of other mixing and thinning solutions. So the point they're making there is that chlorinated organic chemicals are very, very common in populated areas. And the point I was getting to in regard to the Moon of Alabama article was he made the point also that it's used very commonly for, guess what? Chlorinated treated water. I mean, which is everywhere, especially in countries overseas. So the simple fact that they found organic chlorine chemicals is not indicative of any kind of a weapon, which also is what the report makes pretty damn clear. So basically, this is being wildly misrepresented, and I find that incredibly revealing. So, and also, at the very bottom of the report, the OPCW very clearly states, in addition to all the other information, no chemicals relevant to CDC Chemical Weapons Convention have been found. Like a bullet, a boom, right on their findings. Nonetheless, all of these mainstream groups came out and basically lied to everybody. And really, in my eyes, there's only one of two possibilities here. Either these mainstream media journalists are so wildly inept, so utterly incompetent, that they did zero due diligence, which is their job. They misinterpreted the information, misunderstood what the OPCW was reporting, and gave a patently and verifiably false report. Or they're intentionally trying to mislead their readers for one reason or another, which I think you guys could guess what my opinion would be. But either way, people need to stop reading this garbage. I mean, how many more examples do we need of how ridiculously wrong they can be and how just kind of blithely they switch over to a new title and don't really address the facts? At the end of the day, this entire report comes down to the fact that we know that the White House lied about the information they were presenting to the people, basically a report that simply is non-existent today about the urine samples and blood samples. And we can see that the information they're presenting so far, again, it's preliminary, something could change, but so far that showed that there is nothing to indicate that sarin or chlorine gas were used in these areas. We know that this comes down to the concept that there was smoke inhalation, as we've seen doctors and witnesses and many other people testify who were there, that this was all fabricated by the white helmets, that they started pouring water and screaming gas and making everybody freak out when it was essentially smoke inhalation from bombings. And epoxy and asphyxiation, all these different terms they're throwing around, but it had nothing to do with gas or chemical nerve agents. And that's something that also Robert Fisk reported on, saying that he found no evidence of the same thing. So it's just, how much more evidence do we need to see that this stuff is being manipulated? My opinion, this is trying to be hyped up yet again by using anything they can to push further for what they're trying to accomplish there. And again, I keep hinting at the fact that I think we're going to see something bigger happen there. So we have to be ready for that. But just wanted to inform you guys on what's really going on with this information, as many others have over the last couple of days, because it's very, very important not to let their lies slip out and get people. I mean, you probably still see pundits in the media continuing to regurgitate the fact that we have proof of chlorine, even though that's patently false. Very important. Moving on to the next story, coming from ZeroHedge.com as well, and another interesting story from North Korea's side. North Korea slams extremely troubling U.S. attitude, says resolve for denuclearization may falter. Now, who could have guessed we'd see something like this happen? Oh, that's right. Many of us have been saying this since the very beginning, because it's exactly what the people behind the scenes pulling all the strings do not want to see happen. Peace is the absolute opposite of what they want. This is a very interesting story. Excuse me. North Korea lashed out at the U.S. for its, quote, extremely troubling attitude just hours after it held the latest round of discussions with Mike Pompeo, warning that its firm, steadfast resolve to give up its nuclear programs may falter. So again, interestingly pointing out that they, at one point, and still kind of do, have a resolve to denuclearize. That's been on the table well before these talks even started, and I've showed that many, many times. Now, they said the trust between the countries is in a dangerous state. Remember, after speaking with Mike Pompeo, and then said while adding that North Korea still trusts President Donald Trump. Now, you could argue that that may be unfounded or not the right way. Trusting Donald Trump may not be the solution for North Korea. And I tend to believe that as well, that he's part of this problem. But it seems at least that he was trying to make something happen with North Korea and that other people are messing it up. But it's entirely possible that he's part of all of this to begin with. So we ultimately don't know. But we have to recognize that Pompeo comes into the solution. And all of a sudden, now they're getting upset. Now, what this comes down to, I mean, really all the partisan attempts to kind of bend this to suit their agenda aside, this all comes down to exactly what it's been from the very beginning. Pyongyang will not accept U.S. demands to fully denuclearize before it receives sanctions relief. I mean, how this is just the same tired back and forth. And despite that Trump openly discussed the possibility of sanctions relief in exchange for denuclearization. This is nothing new. And now all of a sudden we're seeing them reassert the fact that it's like, there's no discussion that you need to denuclearize and then we'll discuss possibly relieving the sanctions. I mean, who deals like that? That's absolutely absurd to think that any country, especially seeing what happened with Iraq and Libya and many other examples, is just going to bend to the will and just hope that they follow through. Especially when you got China behind North Korea and all these other countries saying, look, don't deal with the United States. It's a dangerous move because demonstrably, they've gone back on many, many different deals. The nuclear deal with Iran being a perfect example, as they're in complete compliance with the deal and the U.S. just pulls out anyway because it suits their agenda at the moment, which is wildly dishonest, truly. Now, they say, quote, the U.S. is fatally mistaken if it went to the extent of regarding that that North Korea would be compelled to accept out of its patience the demands reflecting its gangster-like mindset, which I thought was a very interesting way to phrase that. And that is if to entirely prove North Korea's gangster insinuation correct, Pompeo had this to say. It's yours if you'll seize the moment. This miracle can be yours. It can be your miracle of North Korea as well. He said, adding that being alongside the United States will benefit the regime economically. We follow through on American promises. Now, I've pointed this out before. That is basically saying, do what we say and we'll make sure you financially benefit. I mean, you know, you could take that a few different ways, but that's pretty clearly what's being pushed right there. That if you don't do what we say, bad things are going to happen. It's like one of those, like, you know, these mobster threats. They don't actually say it, but clearly the insinuation there is that you'll benefit from dealing with us. And if you don't, negative things will come through. And that is pretty much a gangster-like mentality. I mean, I just find this incredibly ridiculous to see that this is how these things move forward. Very interesting. Now, as I've said many, many times, Bolton, Pompeo, and those they actually serve do not want to see peace made. It's bad for the war business, which currently runs the country. And it's bad for their geopolitical placement in regard to China. If they lose their foothold, their placement there, that they would kind of lose their strength against China because they want to maintain their presence in South Korea at all costs. And they'll basically now, in my opinion, if we see this continue, if they continue to say you do this or else, and that, you know, we'll maybe give you some sanctions relief, North Korea is probably not going to go with the deal, which I would agree with. It's not smart to do. And then they're going to say North Korea reneged on the deal, and then they're going to push for military action. Which, again, it's not hard to see this coming, but I have been suggesting this from the very beginning. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. I truly hope we see some kind of peace come of this, regardless of who's making it happen. I don't care if it's Donald Trump or anybody else. If we see something positive come of this and actually a de-escalation of the hostilities there, I think that's a very good thing. But as I've said from the beginning, they do not want to see it happen. I don't think we're going to. So keep track of this and we'll make sure to report on as it continues to dissolve and how they play it out. Moving on to the final story of the day, coming from the MiddleEastMonitor.com. Another interesting one. Israel lawyer appointed chair of UN Human Rights Committee. Now, this one I think is important not to jump to conclusions on, but I definitely thought it was an important story to cover for a few different reasons. Now, an Israeli lawyer was chosen this week to chair the UN Human Rights Committee despite the country's dire human rights record. The UN Human Rights Committee, not to be confused with the UN Human Rights Council, is a panel of legal professionals which reviews states' adherence to the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which forms part of the International Bill of Human Rights. The covenant commits parties to respect the civil and political rights of individuals, including the right to life, freedom, and religion, speech and assembly, electoral rights, and rights to due process and a fair trial. Things that doesn't really sound synonymous with what's going on right now in Israel and Palestine. Israel has signed and ratified the covenant. The new appointee, Mr. Shani is his name, has also worked for Israel's Ministry of Justice and as an advisor to the Israeli Prime Minister's office and the Israeli army. He will be the first Israeli to chair the Human Rights Committee. In a statement following his appointment, Shani said that, quote, we live in an international climate that no longer supports human rights. As head of the committee, I hope to harness its positive and apolitical influence to secure human rights for all citizens of the world, which is a nice flowery statement. And if he really means that, I think that's fantastic. The appointment will raise eyebrows in light of Israel's dire human rights record and systemic denial of Palestinians' human rights. Israel uses administrative detention of Palestinians in which a person who has not committed an offense is held without trial or legal proceedings as a, quote, quick and easy alternative to criminal trial. Statistics show that, quote, at the end of May 2018, 440 Palestinians, including two women and three minors, were held in administrative detention in Israel prison service facilities, which is just horrifying to think about. Clearly the opposite of what he just stated there. Now, it's important to note, and I always draw all kinds of criticism for even saying something like this, but this is exactly how I feel in a very logical statement. My concern is not that he's simply Israeli. Just as not all Americans are evil because of the actions of their government, neither should we assume that all Israelis are evil because of the actions of their government and the Zionist influence. But that being said, it seems a very revealing choice to see an Israeli lawyer appointed here. But we should wait and see what actions are taken, if he actually falls through with what he's saying, as there are plenty of Israeli citizens and Jewish individuals alike who actively speak out about the crimes of the Israeli government. Just have to go and find them. Many people don't like to acknowledge that. So hopefully his statement is genuine and he actually wants to see things change. But we should absolutely have our doubts, especially due to his past. So I'm hypercritical of even the fact of the UN in general, as always, and the fact that he was appointed to this position with all that's going on seems a very interesting move. Because if he doesn't follow through with that statement, it's just one more reason to point these things out. So maybe it's possible they did it for the reason that he does have good intentions. We don't know. But very interesting thing to think about here, because it does leave me very uneasy in general. Now, Israel's disregard for human rights has also been highlighted, as you all know, during the Great March of Return, which began on March 30th. Since the protests began, 135 Palestinians have died after being hit by Israeli live fire, with a further 15,000 injured. Israel has also targeted journalists, photographers, and paramedics in a bid to silence reports and images of its human rights violations, as we've documented many times over. In addition, Israel in June passed a law, as we also reported on, making it an offense to film Israeli soldiers on duty, making filming, quote, with intent to harm the morale of Israeli soldiers or its inhabitants, which is what they deem any filming of them is, punishable by up to 5 years in prison, which it was actually 10 to begin. And I guess they wheeled and dealed and put it down to only five. So I guess that's much better. The law will limit the work of human rights groups who document human rights violations committed by Israeli soldiers in the occupied West Bank. Very, very frustrating to see all this, especially in regard to Israel, because just the things, I mean, I really want to see something happen here because of they're one of the worst situations going on today. In addition to Yemen, of just wild human rights violations. And I guess Saudi Arabia, of course, in relation to Yemen. I really hope something good happens here. But with the first story in mind, in particular, what's going on with Syria and the OPCW, I mean, really, how much more do we need to see right in front of our faces, for the average Americans, I should say, to realize that the people running our country are not fighting for your freedom, or anyone else's for that matter. They are quite literally doing the opposite. And I do not mean the United States. We are the United States. They are the ones who have stolen this country out from under us and sold it to the highest bidder. So we have proof now that the White House not only lied, but seems to have presented evidence that does not even exist, which explains why we weren't allowed to see it at the time, in order to bomb another sovereign nation. But that itself is nothing new. From WMDs to Libya, this is what they do. We also now have the known war hawks at Trump's side, many of whom who fully involved with the WMDs and Libya manipulations, who are clearly, and in my opinion, intentionally derailing any positive steps that might be made with North Korea, not to mention with Russia and China or anyone else at this point. And to ignore all of these clear signs that these politicians, manipulators, and spies should not be leading the direction of our nation, let alone be trusted in any way, is to willfully allow the continued demise of the greatness and prosperity we could achieve through peace if we come together and stand against those who seek to profit from the death of others and the steady destruction of the United States. Thank you all for joining me once again today. I love you all and I appreciate you all being here. Those of you that were able to catch on to the live stream that I didn't schedule today, I appreciate all your interaction. And with all the stuff we have here, as always, it's so incredibly important just to get this out there in any way that you can, because we're constantly being stifled, we're constantly being manipulated, we're constantly being messed with in every possible way, just because we're trying to speak our minds and tell and put out there what we think is you know, not like I said last time, not just what we think is the truth, but simply trying to critically analyze things in front of us and show possibly a different perspective. And that's just off the table today, which should also give us a pretty good insight on what's really going on. So be sure and spread this. Make sure you check us out on our Patreon page or donate on PayPal or any way you can keep this going, because we are 100% funded by you guys. And everything you do means so much to me. And even just being here in the chat right now means a lot to me. So thank you very much. Spread the information. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com as well, and any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.